Wisconsin's 42nd Governor Tommy Thompson says Congress shouldn't pit the health of seniors against children's health. The four-term governor and former U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services joins us now to talk Medicare and other issues. Governor Tommy Thompson, welcome to the show.
Well, Kate, it's a pleasure to be here, and I'm just delighted that you moved from Minneapolis to Wisconsin. That's a huge step up to be from Minnesota and come over here to God's country, Wisconsin. You know, I love this state.
Well, we were just talking with our Capitol Bureau Chief, Sean Johnson, about the redistricting case before U.S. Supreme
Big
Court.
Issue.
Big issue. Right. Justices are hearing the Wisconsin case. Some argue gerrymandering. Why do you think this is the legal and ethical way to redraw voting districts?
I guess there's no really justification except the fact that this is the way the Constitution allows the legislature and the governor to determine how people are going to be constitutionally put in districts so they can vote and have representative government. It's the way it's been. And, you know, it's the use of computers that have allowed individuals to determine how you vote, not how you vote, but you know, how you are inclined to vote and put into particular districts. And some people that are on the outs, if the Democrats are in control, they would gerrymander for themselves. Republicans are in control, they gerrymander for themselves. I don't say gerrymander, but I would say make sure that the district maps are favorably disposed to them. And that happens all over the country. And some people are very opposed to it. Other people say that's the way it's always been. It's the way it's going to be. And today we have an issue in the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court is going to find, you know, one way or the other, if this is the correct way or if they should be changed. And so I'm sort of looking forward for the Supreme Court to make a decision once and for all.
You wrote a recent piece with Democrat Howard Dean.
And Howard Dean and I don't agree upon very much, so I want you to know that. But then this one, I think this one we're absolutely correct, both of us.
Well, this piece touches on issues of senior health care and wellness for kids. Talk about what you did agree on here. What was the takeaway of what you wrote about?
Well, you got to realize, first, I was the architect of Part D. I don't know if you knew that, Kate. And so Part D is actually my baby. And when we put through Part D for seniors for prescription drugs, George Bush asked me, says, figure out a way to, I've campaigned on it. I don't really, I want you to figure out the best and most economical and equitable way to make sure the seniors got drugs. And we worked on it for many years, a very complex issue, and we got it through the Congress on a bipartisan basis, I might add. And it's turned out to be a tremendously successful law. 90% plus of the seniors support Part D. And I don't think you can get 90% of the seniors to agree upon free apple pie, but they do on Part D. So I think that this points out how well-received and how good it is and why change it. And SCHIP, which is a program for children, is pretty much in the same category. And when you have bipartisan support for big social issues, and I sort of, you know, speak about the issue that if you really want social movement, you got to have bipartisan support. You got to have Democrats and Republicans buy into it. And I think that's what's wrong with healthcare and why it's failing today. Obamacare was strictly a partisan Democrat bill, and it failed. And now the Republicans are trying to get a partisan Republican bill through, and it's failing. I think what we need to do is take a step back, and let's find a bipartisan approach to health care. And that's why I believe SCHIP and Part D should stay and not be changed.
And we're going to get to SCHIP here in a moment, as well as Badger Care. But you say this helping senior citizens pay for prescription drugs and other health needs, it didn't used to be a partisan issue. It is now. Whose position has shifted, or what's changed?
I don't think it's a partisan issue. I think what's happening is Congress is looking around and trying to find a path forward and finding the ways, because Medicare is going broke, and they're trying to find ways in which they can salvage it and make sure that it doesn't go broke. And they're looking at any ways possible. And when you look at Medicare, you look at big issues. Big issues are Part D. Big issues, big spending issues are SCHIP. And they're trying to find. I don't think they should touch those. When you have two programs that are so successful as Part D for prescription drugs for seniors and health care for children, let's leave it. Let's go someplace else where they're not as effective and where they are possibilities for amending and making better. That's why I really think we should leave SCHIP and Part D alone.
Talking right now with Wisconsin's 42nd Governor Tommy Thompson and discussing Medicare and other issues here on the table. Call out to you. Do you get extra help from Medicare? How much would higher prescription costs affect your budget? What kind of decisions would you need to make? Have you been on Badger Care? How has health insurance changed your life? Join in the discussion, 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. You can tweet us here at WPR Mornings. The state's children's health insurance program expired this weekend. In Wisconsin, people know it as Badger Care. In the 90s, as governor, you mentioned you expanded Badger Care.
I started Badger
Care. You started Badger Care.
It was my idea.
Okay.
No,
take ownership.
I didn't expand it. I started it. A lot of people want to take credit, but it was my program.
And by 2000, around 95% of uninsured kids and low-income families enrolled in Badger Care or Medicaid. Does Congress need to re-up this program?
Absolutely. One of the most successful health care programs in the country. And Wisconsin led the way. And I was happy to be the architect of it. It's a fantastic program. And every governor since I left have expanded on it and made it better. And so it's a very good program. And I hope Congress does see fit to reapprove it and allow us to continue on with a successful program. I'm one of those believers, when you got a successful program and it's working out, why change it? Let's go to programs that are not working, costing the taxpayers a lot of money, and are not as efficient as Badger Care, SCHIP, and Part D. All three of these programs really are usually within their budgets. They're efficient. People like them. And they do what the job was set out. They provide health care for children. They provide drugs for seniors. And let's keep it going. So that's my concern.
What happens if lawmakers don't reinstate SCHIP? What do you see?
Then you're going to have to do a different program. You'll probably have to adopt a federal program on SCHIP. And I like SCHIP. It's a very good program. It's bipartisan. It's got the support of Republicans and Democrats, but I think Badger Care is just a little bit better. And that's why.
Why do you think it's just a little bit better?
Because it's the Wisconsin model. We always like to lead. Contrary to people from Minnesota.
I knew that was coming.
You knew that was coming, Kate. But it is better. I mean, and so people want to keep it. All I can say is I'm fully in favor, but endorse it.
You have a record of supporting affordable health insurance for low-income families.
Right.
How does that apply?
That's Badger Care.
Yes. How does that apply when you consider the Affordable Care Act?
Well, the Affordable Care Act is falling apart. You know, let's be perfectly honest where we are. The Affordable Care Act is failing, and unless you're going to restructure it and have a bipartisan approach to it, it's going to fail. I'm a strong believer, Kate, and all the listeners out there, when you're going to make big social changes like Social Security, like Medicare, like Medicaid, you need bipartisan support for it in order to really make it effective. We saw that in Medicare and Medicaid, Social Security, very effective. Part D was another Part D. I wanted to make sure we had bipartisan support when I pushed that through the House and Senate, and we got it. And so it is very effective. When you try and develop a partisan bill like the Affordable Care Act, it was strictly a Democrat bill, and I'm not saying the Democrats were all wrong, Republicans were all right. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, though, is let's look at health care. It is too complex, too huge to have just one political party develop a health care policy. You need both political parties with their best ideas, and you need to find ways to control costs. And that's the magic potion that's been missing in the debate from Obamacare through this year. We need to get back to trying to find ways that we can come together with the best ideas in America. And BadgerCare is one of those best ideas. SCHIP is another one. Part D. Let's put it together in a package to make it. The Affordable Care Act is collapsing. Over 5,000 counties only have one insurer, if that. And it's going to get worse in the future. So and we don't want a system that's collapsing. We want a system that's growing and effective and responding to the needs of our citizens. And the best way to do that is to sit down and forget about if you're a Republican or a Democrat, what's the best idea out there?
But there is no one working across the aisle, really,
That's
anymore.
The problem.
How do you get that? How do you get that collegiality back?
Well, I think it takes leadership. I think it takes the leadership of the president. I think it takes leadership of both political parties in the House and the United States Senate. I mean, there are good people on both sides, and there needs to be some input from both sides on health care. It is too complex and too overreaching. And if you only have one portion of the system making the decisions, the other side is going to push back. And that's what happened on Obamacare. From the day it passed, people were opposed to it because it was not bipartisan. And the same thing is going to happen if the Republicans would pass their bill without any Democrat input. It's going to have a partisan spin to it, and it's going to create controversy, it's going to create opposition, and that's not good for the healthcare system. It's too big, it takes care of too many people, and it needs too much resources to have just one political party be part of it.
So some critics of Obamacare saying lawmakers should intentionally discourage enrollment or improvement so we are forced to replace it. Should leaders do that, or should lawmakers work to stabilize the program?
What they should do is sit down and modernize the program and make it work. I mean, Obamacare is not working. And if Obamacare fails, we have nothing. We have just, give and takes from wherever. And it's going to be a system that's not going to respond to the needs of our citizens. We got a very large, diverse country. And what we need to do is we have to have a very streamlined, modern healthcare system. We need to have some competition. We need to control costs. We need to make sure that individuals are able to get health insurance. We got to make sure that insurance companies cannot take health insurance away from people. We've got all of these things involved, and there are ways to do it. I could sit down and draft a healthcare bill that I think could get bipartisan support.
You think you could do that?
Absolutely, without a doubt.
Then why don't they go the Tommy Thompson route?
Well, because they feel that their route is a better way. You know, they wanted to go the partisan way, and I don't think that's in the cards we deal with healthcare. On certain issues, you got to have a partisan bend because that's why you got elected. But on healthcare, I mean, there's no Democrat disease, no Republican disease, no Democrat healthcare proposal that's better than a Republican, but together we could really make the system work, and that's what's failing in healthcare. I don't think healthcare is one that should be partisan.
We're talking right now with Wisconsin's 42nd Governor Tommy Thompson about a range of issues impacting Americans. He co-authored an opinion piece with former Vermont Governor Howard Dean on the predicament of Medicare and pushing the burden of out-of-pocket costs more onto seniors. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you get extra help from Medicare? How much would higher prescription costs affect your budget, your bottom line? What kind of decisions would you need to make? 800-642-1234. Have you been on BadgerCare? How has it impacted your life? Or do you have another question for Governor Tommy Thompson? Join in, 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tommy, looking at Wisconsin, your Wisconsin, lawmakers passed a state budget about 3 months after their deadline.
Mm-hmm.
What's your broad opinion of the decisions made for the next 2 years of government funding?
Well, I think overall they did a good job. Anybody that looks at a budget of thousands of pages and billions of dollars, you can find something you don't like. You can find something you like. Overall, I think the legislature did a good job. I was pleased with it.
What were you pleased about?
I was pleased about the amount of money went into education. I was very pleased about the money going into K-12. Very pleased with the University of Wisconsin's increase. Very increased with the amount of programs to help people. There were programs in there for law enforcement, safety, tax reform. I mean, there are a lot of good things in there.
Well, what did you shake your head about? And
as a governor, I.
What about the road funding situation? They're a juggernaut over there.
You got to realize, that as a governor, I think Governor Walker did a good job. But would I have made some changes? Of course, I would have. If you had the shot at it, Kate, you'd make the same thing. And my good friend Ms. Johnson over here would definitely make a lot of changes.
But we were really at odds over how to pay for roads.
And we still are.
Yeah.
The problem has not been solved. It's been pushed down the road a ways, but we got to figure out a way in Wisconsin to find a permanent fix for highway funding. And we haven't got there yet.
How would you fix it?
Well, I think, we got to take a look at ways to increase revenue.
Let's take a quick call now. Matt in Middleton. Go ahead, Matt.
Hi. I just wanted to disagree a little bit with the governor's comments, because lest he forget that when he was a Republican in power, the market-based solution to health care was actually a Republican solution to health care. So the Democrats, when they enacted Obamacare, were actually enacting a healthcare solution that the Republicans had created. And if we truly wanted to make it a bipartisan bill, they would have had a public option to the market-based system, which is what we wanted in the first place. So I think it's a little bit disingenuous to say that Obamacare is not bipartisan simply because the Republicans have gone so far right that they refuse to acknowledge even their own ideas.
Matt, I tend to disagree with you, and I guess that's why we have a democracy where things are. You're absolutely wrong. There was a public option in the Obamacare, and if you look at the co-ops, Wisconsin's the only one of three states that still has a public health co-op. The rest of them all collapsed. The public option didn't work, and single payer also doesn't have the support in Congress to even pass. And so the Democrats did not use the Republican ideas. They went on a partisan way. They didn't do anything in order to restrict costs. All it was being able to increase benefits, increase expenses, and that's a failure in healthcare.
And we have to jump in here for the news from NPR. Four-term Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson stays with us on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're discussing a range of issues this morning. We started with a plan under consideration in Congress that would significantly raise out-of-pocket costs for seniors on Medicare. Thompson has co-authored a piece with former Vermont Governor Howard Dean. You can join in the discussion 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Whose responsibility is it to make sure that affordable care is everywhere? Or are there obligations for certain people with health care? Join in the discussion on health care and other topics for Tommy Thompson at 800-642-1234. When we left off to break, we are talking about the state budget. In the state budget, there is funding for the Thompson Center, the Tommy G. Thompson Center on Public Leadership. The goal, bringing in speakers, hosting events, research, training. What do you want to see from the UW-Madison Center that bears your name?
Everything.
Let's start out with the first thing.
Well, first thing, I want us to really take an in-depth look at healthcare. How do we make healthcare more accessible and more affordable? and reduce the premiums, improve the quality of services, and have more metrics in which performance really rings out in the healthcare system and gives the kind of healthcare responses to people that need it. I would also really like to see a situation in which we start bending the curve towards prevention and wellness. We have a disease system. We don't have a wellness system. And we wait till you get sick, and then we spend 92 to 95% of the money to get you well again. Why don't we spend, you know, a big portion of that to keep you well in the first place? You know, cessation of smoking, being able to take care of children better, you know, S-CHIP as well as Part D. And we need to really start dwelling on that. We also need to allow for tax reduction for individuals to pay for health insurance themselves. You know, corporations get a chance to reduce their taxes by paying for health care. Why can't individuals? You know, it's a tremendous inducement for people to get health care if you know that you're going to be able to take that as a reduction on your taxes. And so these are the kind of common sense approaches that I want the Thompson Center to look at and be able to get into. And I also want the Thompson Center to take a real strong look. My new passion is to for prison reform, and hopefully we can get into that because I got a lot of ideas. I want to turn one of the prisons into a vocational school and allow prisoners to work themselves out of prison and be able to get a trade and an occupation, a profession, that they're going to be able to go out into the workplace where we really need a lot of new workers and be able to do a decent job and not have to worry about breaking the law or stealing or whatever the case may be and end up back in jail or back in prison. We have a tremendous opportunity, and I'd like to get into that. Maybe we can talk about it.
Yeah, so you envision the Thompson Center as a vehicle for making this framework for prisons then to shift into
healthcare, prisons, and I want to also build and allow young people to come into the Thompson Center and learn about politics. You know, the good side.
Okay, that's another thing too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're very ambitious here. There's a lot of things under this one tent of the Thompson Center.
I hope so, and I want it to be a learning experience, and I don't want to be a situation where people can say, oh, it's just a partisan think tank. I want it to go out and start solving problems for Wisconsin and America. You know, we got some great thinkers in here and from both political parties. Bring them together at the Thompson Center and really work on solving some of the major problems. You know, we warehouse prisoners. And yet, in all the newspapers and radio programs like yours, you're talking about the lack of workers out in society. Why don't we figure out a way to use some of the prisoners and be able to educate them and get them back in the workforce so they're meaningful members of society and will be able to contribute and be able to help our economy grow?
So one of the things at the center, you'll be teaching public leadership. Is that strategy different in the past? How do you teach public leadership?
Well, you don't. You don't in the extent that there's no magic portion out there to say, this is a public leader, this is not. But you can show examples of good leadership and be able to show that in certain areas, you know, bipartisanship does work. And we should be using bipartisanship in order to make it happen. Let's just use prison reform as one. There are some wonderful ideas out there coming from both political parties that we should be able to do it. And this is not a liberal or a conservative. This is a real issue. And we have prisoners, you know, we pay, what, $35,000 a year to warehouse them? Why don't we make sure...
Per prisoner?
For a prisoner.
Per prisoner.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is really expensive. You can put somebody through 4 years of college. So why don't we turn one of those prisons into a vocational school? Find out what the economy really needs from our resources, from our people, and be able to start training those people for those jobs. We don't nearly have enough welders in America. And, welding is something that you could teach in a prison and really be able to give that young man or that young woman an opportunity. Construction, building, technology. We got Foxconn. There's many ways in which you're going to be able to teach individuals that need those skills and be able to go out after they get out of prison. Right now, we just sort of warehouse them. And I would like to have a survey done. I don't want individuals that have committed a heinous crime to be able to get out. But those individuals, you know, that are in there that are not, you know, that are not violent criminals, you know, let's make a survey of those individuals and find out what the needs of society and what that person's aptitude is and be able to teach that person, allow that person to work himself out of prison. And then I also think what they should do is have to pay something back for what they learned. You know, just like a college student has to pay back their college loans, why not have a prisoner pay back to the taxpayers for what they learn in the vocational school that we're going to turn in and be able to work it out? And then have businesses sponsor individuals and be able to, you know, if you're XYZ Corporation and you need 50 welders, have them sponsor 50 prisoners to be able to go through welding class and know that they're going to have a captive audience or a captive employee when they get out.
You've been thinking about this, Governor Thompson. You've been thinking about this idea. And
don't you agree?
Well, I want to circle back.
I want to get you on the record.
I want to circle back to healthcare because we have a number of callers who want to go back to healthcare and talk to you about healthcare. Let's go with Jeff in Green Bay. Jeff, go ahead.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Tommy. As much as I respect and appreciate everything you did for Wisconsin, I got to disagree with you on a couple of things.
Go ahead.
As far as the health care, with this focus on trying to get health insurance for everybody, the problem's not the insurance. The problem's the cost of the health care.
That's right.
I should be able to break my arm, go to the hospital, write a couple checks, and pay for that myself. When we try to fix and get health insurance for everybody, we get things like Obamacare. That is such a monster that if you try to fix one thing over here, you're going to break two things over there. Now, just think if we made that a bipartisan bill with ideas from both, oh, my God, it'd be horrible. It is horrible. And as a conservative, I can concede that the best thing would be a single payer. It'd be the most economical. But government can't keep their own financial house in order. How bad would healthcare costs be if it was in charge of the government? Oh, my Lord.
Jeff, I don't know where you are saying you disagree with me. Sounds like we're agreeing. The problem is that there's only been the Obamacare was only a partisan bill, and it didn't look at costs. It didn't look at costs at all. It didn't do anything to bend the curve on costs. And I have never supported a single payer system. A single payer system we could not afford in America, because the government is very inefficient, as you have stated. But there are ways. What I'm saying is that we should use ideas from the Democrats and Republicans. I disagree with you that saying that would be a catastrophe. I think it would be a step forward, and you start to be able to rally the people around and start finding ways in which to bend the curve down and the costs down and make the system much better and develop quality in our healthcare system so people are going to be able to have improved healthcare system and start spending some of the money that we spend on just getting you well after you get sick to start figuring ways in order to keep you well in the first place. That's the direction I would like to see our healthcare system go.
And, Jeff, thank you so much for your call. Let's take one more quick call with Ann in Manitowoc. Go ahead, Ann.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Quickly.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
Hi. I just wanted to make a point that when the Obamacare Affordable Care Act was passed,
right,
there were Republican ideas that the Democrats put into that, and people have forgotten that the Republicans had a lot of ideas with that were in that act. And now everybody talks about Obamacare was never bipartisan.
It wasn't.
Although it wasn't voted on that way, because then the Republicans started losing their Republican Party. The Tea Party took over. Now people call the Affordable Care Act Obamacare. If they're a Republican, they call it Obamacare because they don't want ex-President Obama to have any credit.
I disagree with you completely, Ann. Obamacare was strictly a Democrat bill. Speaker Pelosi wrote the bill herself in the House, and Senator, the Majority Leader...
And we're going to have to wrap up here pretty soon. But I want one more quick question here. You served as Secretary of Health and Human Services. Tom Price, the most recent person in that post, he stepped down after controversy surrounding his use of government travel and planes. What kind of person should be the next HHS secretary?
somebody that is going to be a strong leader and is going to go to Capitol Hill and be able to develop a healthcare strategy and a healthcare system and be able to get both political parties hopefully to work together. It's difficult, but you got to have a strong leader to do it. I was able to do it, and I think a strong leader can accomplish that, and that's what's needed.
What kind of priorities should that person have?
Priorities should be in healthcare. That's the number one problem for the healthcare system right now, and the healthcare secretary has got to lead the effort. The healthcare secretary has got to be very articulate, very vociferous, and be willing to cross party lines in order to get the best ideas and pass a healthcare bill. We've got to pass a healthcare law, and right now it's got to be bipartisan because the rules changed as of the beginning of the new fiscal year on October 1st. You need 60 votes, so you got to have bipartisan support, so let's sit down and get it done.
Governor, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
That was Tommy Thompson, former Wisconsin governor, previous U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services. And this hour of the morning show is produced by Keely Boltina and Nyasia Ellison. Michelle Johnson is executive producer as well as technical director this morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Stay with us for On Your Money coming up.